right, advertiser time. So, first off, our OG sponsor, Sinister Jerky. Use code KINGDOM, that's KINGDOM, at checkout at www.sinisterjerky.com. Grab yourself a nice little discount. And also, this podcast is powered by Balls Garara. Grab life by the balls. And with that said, let's go on to the podcast. All right, welcome back to Castle Comms, episode 84. Today we have a content creator that busts the myth that nobody can hear you stream in space. We have a comedian, we have a content creator, we have a lover of Balls Garara, we got the one, the only Guilty Glitch. Guilty, how you doing today?
Yo, 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 what is up, 8-Bit?
Oh, not too much, you know, it's the weekend, it's raining, I have a cup of coffee. Life's not so shitty today. How's it going for you, Guilty? What's it like in space right now currently? I know Kerbals are up there with Kerbal Space Program too. Are they like dead Kerbals littering your space yard, or how are you dealing with all that?
You know what? I'm actually orbiting just outside your galaxy. So, you know, I've never seen anyone. It's very lonely up here. And that's why I like to anytime my signal can reach through your atmosphere, I like to stream on the servers of twitch.tv and you know, see what you guys are up to.
So being like so to, far out there in space, I know you're probably getting radio signals from way back. Is that why you love the nostalgic games like Mario 64? Are those radio waves from those emulators just starting to reach you out there?
You know what? Your internet, as you guys call it, it's very, very fascinating to us. And it's, you know, I dive into a little bit of everything. I love the classics, some of the new stuff. Hell, I just love surfing your World Wide Web for stupid and funny content. I'm just down for it all.
I mean, that's the best way to be. It's one of those things where it's like the alien community. I think you're my fourth alien I've had on the show. I've had, first robot, technically alien as well, but you're the first robot. I've had all the squabbleheads who are professed aliens. So you're my first robot extraterrestrial. So round of applause for you there. The second biggest category is Canadians. Go figure that. So Guilty Glitch, out of all the things from Earth, what is your favorite? What is your favorite thing to consume, whether it be content or food-wise? Inquiring minds want to know.
Oh, my God. So, favorite thing from Earth? Honestly, it's just, I would just say the website you guys call YouTube, you got some interesting and crazy things on there.
I saw that you were looking at robot, like, you know, you called it robo-dating in your clips, which has looked like speed dating. Which was actually pretty hilarious. The commentary with that too, like that one girl's like, "I like him tall," and then they reached back and they found the tallest dude in this audience to come forward. So, with all of it being said and done, is the courtship process hilarious to a robotic being such as yourself?
You know what? You would think so, but it's actually not quite that different for you. I am actually married to my spaceship, believe it or not. She's my sweet, sassy, sensual spaceship who soars me through the stars. She's also the producer and seducer of my show, and that's Guilty Gravity. And you know, she's in a low power mode right now. I turned off the autopilot, and I'm in the controls right now. So
nice. Now, is that weird dating your spaceship? Like, does that cause any issues out there in travel? Like, do you double park in spots and hear about it later when you're going to, like, the space grocery store or things like that? Do you not get, like, regular maintenance done at, like, the Space Kragen or Pet Boys or wherever the fuck you go for your spaceship maintenance? Like, what kind of troubles is there when you date your ship?
Oh, man. You wouldn't believe. First off, I mean, you know, I like to think I'm the better driver. She might disagree, but you know, either way, it's a good way to kill all of the time. It gives me a companion to talk to, and share all this awesome content you guys have.
I was going to say, the closest thing we have to that in Earth is, like, dudes with lifted F-250s who put, like, weird nut sacks on the tailgate. That's the closest thing we have to that on Earth.
I mean, I wanted to put a nut sack on her, but she was not down.
She is a ship of class, is what you're telling me.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean I don't got some, like, little dice up in here or something.
Or, you know, a scented tree or whatever beautifully scented thing I was up in space for an air conditioning unit. Maybe a hula girl on, like, the dashboard. You know, you gotta put some tchotchkes up in your car.
Oh, we're full of tchotchkes. No pop figures, though. I learned my lesson on that one.
What, did you get, like, stabbed in a Funko Pop, like, deal gone bad or something? What do you mean you learned your deal on that one?
You know what? I just learned that pop figures are this decade's Beanie Babies, and I don't want anything else to do with them.
That is actually a really funny comparison. That's actually pretty accurate, too. I would say that's good. Only there isn't a Funko Pop for, you know, with a candle in the wind. There's no immemorial Funko Pop like that that I can remember. Where's the Princess Di Funko Pop? Oh, but I digress. So, getting back to content and content creation. Out of all of the species out there and all the galaxies, what makes you want to appeal to humanity? Like, what about humanity makes you feel like they're the target content audience? Because there must be smarter races out there, because looking around at my fellow man when I go out and about in public, we're all pretty fucking dumb out here.
Well, you know, that's the interesting of it all, is through your World Wide Web, I downloaded a personality matrix into my robot shell. So I actually have what you would call memories of someone who lives on Earth. So there's that, but ultimately, I've never encountered anyone out here in space. So, you know, communicating with chat, besides my wife, is the only people I ever communicate with.
I had to grab my bong real fast because the cat almost knocked that down, and bong water and carpet are not best friends. So sorry for the slight delay. But yeah, that totally makes sense. So chat, how does chat come across to the robot, to the robot inside of you and your memories? Like, is it one of those things where they're pretty accepting of the robot alien thing? Do they try to assume that you're not a robot, that you're faking it with a green screen? Like, what is the approach chat takes when they come across your stream?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, it's a mixture of both. I get a lot of people asking if I got robot tits, and, you know,
that was my next question.
I have to explain them. No, it's just a breastplate, my man. It's like, so you're kind of right. You're kind of wrong. I don't know. But either way, chat's been super cool with it. They're very fascinated with me. And unlike your typical VTuber, I like to call myself a live action VTuber. Or FleshTuber is also another common term for it, where it's not just a moving picture. I'm like on screen, in the ship, having a good time.
Right. So, does it get stuffy inside of, what would we call it? The headpiece. I don't know if you would call that an outer shell, a helmet, a visor plate. I don't know the robot terminology for the head equipment, but, and I don't even know if you experience stuffiness, because, you know, I'm not sure how the air intake works with robot beings such as yourself, but how comfortable would you say your outer shell is?
I mean, the shell, we keep the ship at a solid 70, 72 right there, degrees. Not that Celsius that you Canadians follow. Wait, do Canadians even follow Celsius?
The only thing they follow is hockey and, you know, Tim Hortons. That's all I know.
I knew you were gonna say Tim Hortons.
I love me some Sinbits. You know how it goes.
I mean,
it's not a Comcast. I mean, it's not a Castle Comms fucking episode unless we bring up Tim Hortons.
I'm down. I mean, I'll take some Justin Bieber / Tim Hortons cross promotion stuff.
Just like, you know, when they hand me my coffee when I go to Tim Hortons, I just want them to quote Bieber. Oh, that was a harsh
bomb. Wow, must have been a hell of a bong rip.
Well, you know, it was. Like, I just saved my bong from getting knocked over by the cat, and I was just like, that could have been the last hit that I took yesterday. So I had to take one, you know, in memoriam. It was one of those things like, that will not be the last one. So I had to do it. Plus, you know, it's one of those things where when you're, I'm probably one of the first Earthlings to communicate in a talkative state to an outer terrestrial or out of Earth being. So it's one of those things where I need to be on point, so therefore I need to be a little inebriated. You know how that goes, right?
Oh, absolutely. I also like to partake in the flower, as you guys would call.
No, so, Skilton Glitch, a sativa or indica fan.
Oh my god!
Because
you should
get mad at you when you smoke indica. Be like, you didn't do any of the maintenance because you were high all day.
No, We partake in particularly more in the sativa side of things.
Nice.
But you know, we like to dabble in the indica every now and then.
See, that's great. Now, when you smoke inside of, you know, the ship, does the ship get mad if you hotbox it? And when you do hotbox your ship, does your ship get a contact high and then you just randomly find yourself through a space drive-thru?
I don't know if you've ever looked at my Twitter, but I like to pick fights with fast food restaurants.
That's actually why I'm asking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, dude, you get to the window, I'm like, you're that one son of a bitch, get out of here.
Let's see here. First off, to answer your question, no, the ship actually encourages the hot box. And she actually, nice. Before I put her in low power mode, she was like, hey, just so you know, the vape's on the charger. If you want to partake before your interview. And I was like, oh yeah. And then
sounds like a very nice individual. I applaud your ship. Your ship sounds awesome.
She's a hell of a ship. That's for damn sure. But whenever it comes to fast food and all of that, I love picking fights. I was attending a Wendy's, and they had...
Oh, Wendy's. Them and their square hamburgers. They think they're better than everyone else.
I went into a Wendy's drive-thru, and they had a sign in the window that said, Nugs, not drugs. And I said, motherfucker. I tweeted right at him, and I said, drugs are the only reason I'm in your drive-thru to begin with.
You think I could eat your gross, greasy food without consumption of pot? And I love how they said nugs. Like, nugs is not a street term for pot. I love how they tried to play that. See, that's why I love Jack in the Box. Because Jack in the Box leaned right into the stoner thing. Like that fucking dude in the drive-thru. Yeah, I want a 50 taco. That guy's not sober. McDonald's did it too.
Deep-fried tacos at Jack in the Box. It just... fucking slap.
And they're made with soy too, so it's like you can kind of justify it to the inner fat kid, be like, it's soy, it's good for me, so I'm gonna eat 30 of them. Fuck it.
Well, we're talking about rants at fast food restaurants. I also tweeted at McDonald's and I said, I want to fight the executive that decided that two sauces for 10 nuggets is an appropriate amount of sauces.
So Guilty, I have a story for you, but before I preface the story, I have to know, have you been to a Carl's Jr.'s or a Hardy if you're on the east side of the galaxy?
I've partaked
me all night long.
Oh, don't even.
No.
Oh, I will totally get there. Yes, Carl's Jr. and Hardy's, I will with both all night.
So
and just shove it in me, please. Whoa, so, that came out kind of wrong.
So my first job ever, Guilty, was a Carl's Jr.'s, and as you know, and anyone else who has partaken in Carl's Jr.'s or Hardee's, the mascot is a star. So I was working there and we got the star suit in And you know, I was the youngest guy working there, so everyone else was like, you know, middle-aged, like in the kitchen, or my manager. I was like the guy at the counter, and they had like another high school kid, but he wasn't there. So they hired me, and then they immediately threw me in the star suit. Like, you know, like I was the mascot. I was handing out coupons, and the suit was so stiff. You had to spread your arms and legs out like a star. So your arms are, you know, you're pretty much hitting the T-pose like Jesus. And then you got your legs spread out. And the way you move is you have to waddle and hand somebody something. You have to pretty much turn your whole body to hand them something. So they had me handing out coupons in front of the bus stop. Now, where I live, there's a lot of homeless people, and some of them are a little chaotic. So one of them decided, hey, you see the kid in the star suit? Let's kill him. So somebody pushed me from behind when I was handing out like coupons. And I fell on my face because I couldn't, like, you know, I couldn't stop it because my hands and legs are stuck in the position of a star.
Oh, so no.
I fall fully on my face, and I'm just, you know, bleeding out of my nose, and I hear a noise, and I look through the view slit on my left, because, you know, the front one was just pavement and blood. I look out the view slit to my left, and I see a bus hauling ass towards me, and the first thought that comes to mind, guilty, is not, oh my god, I'm gonna die. The first thought that comes to mind is, what the fuck is that chalk outline gonna look like? Are they gonna do a star? Are they gonna do a mangled corpse inside a star? Are they gonna outline the coupons? What would they tell my family? He died doing the stupidest shit we could think of. But you know, something worse happened. The bus stopped. Somebody helped me up, and I had to waddle my happy ass back into the restaurant.
Oh my god. As soon as that bus hit you, I just imagine, like, classic Street Fighter.
I mean,
the bus just kills.
That would have been awesome. That's the last thing I heard. I'd be okay with that. I would die knowing that I died a Street Fighter's death. Finish him as the bus rolls over. Well, that's Mortal Kombat, but whatever. You know what I mean.
My personality matrix has a memory very similar to this. So, I think in a past life, I may have worked for a very large video game retailer, if you kind of get my drift.
Oh, I think, and I know the one that personally fucked the Wolf of Wall Street not too long ago.
That's the one. And I always like to have fun. And
I never would have guessed that about you, Guilty. I never would have guessed that you were the fun-having type.
Who, me?
I'm joking.
Who are you?
So, we were watching Grand Theft Auto. Oh, my God. Is this 5? I think it was Grand Theft Auto 5.
The current one is 5.
And this was the first launch. So, like, Xbox 360?
That sounds PS3? Right.
PS3?
And
anyway, so I decided,
I think it was the PS3, you're right, yeah.
I decided I'm going to dress up as a pimp. And then I was like, so I go to the Spirit Halloween store, I buy myself a pimp costume, and I was like, well, shit, I need something more. I was like, well, obviously, working at the GameStop, you know, we all wear name tags. So I need to, like, I want, like, a gigantic Flavor Flav style clock.
Oh my
but
God.
But instead of a clock, I need a name tag.
I love
so
all
I
of
went
this.
I bought this huge poster board. I made a huge, like, GameStop name tag. And I put a pimp named Diamond D on it.
Diamond D! Hard enough to cut glass. Diamond D's in the building.
That's right. And I had this cane that had a huge diamond on it. Oh my god, it was perfect.
Now, was that well received by your coworkers and your boss, or did somebody get shitty about it?
Nah, man. Everyone was super fun about it. I've done so many different costumes for midnight releases. I miss a midnight release. Ah, man, could you remember the days? Remember, like, classic Halo 3 Midnight?
Kids will never know the joy and the camaraderie of a midnight release. Just, like, you know, everyone around you is a gamer. And you could, like, remember the Halo ones? Those are the ones that really stuck out for me. The Modern Warfare, I mean, the Call of Duty ones. Yeah, I remember those, too. I remember I did it for Dead Space, too, when it first dropped. Like, the memories of that were just, like, Maybe a TwitchCon will rival that. I've never been to a TwitchCon. I'm going to go to this upcoming TwitchCon, and I'm hoping it has that same feeling. It is in Vegas. Now, that actually was going to lead me to my next question, is your spaceship going to land at TwitchCon 23? But we'll get to that after we finish the midnight release thing, because, my God, it deserves as much time as a podcast is willing to give it. Because, the vibes of that, the fun of that, the energy of that, I've never experienced that as an adult in a gaming capacity, and I want to recapture that so badly. So you being somebody who worked in that, who got to experience it and got paid for it at the same time, now would you volunteer to work every single midnight release?
Absolutely. I loved them. I would always try to make it fun and interesting. We'd have games and all sorts of things and events. So for example, for Batman, we had the entire crew dress up as Batman characters. Obviously, I was Batman. I was Robin one year. That was kind of fun. I wore spandex shorts.
Boy wonder.
And, that was the night I literally, 5 minutes before midnight, before we released the game, I locked the keys in the back room.
Oh, no.
Where all the games were.
Oh, no.
The panic that overcame me was unbelievable.
You would have been the guy that ruined the midnight. It would have been horrible. You would have been locally famous. Be like, who's that piece of shit?
I've also dressed as a Lego character for a Lego launch one time.
Now, how did you pull that off? Did you get a big blocky thing like Kanye West in that one music video, or did you just how did you pull off the Lego look?
I just built a little Lego head out of cardboard.
Was this for Lego movies, or was this for a Lego Star Wars or a Lego Hobbit?
Exactly, it was one of the Lego games.
So we're touching on a lot of pop culture things. So I have to know, were you a big comic book person? Or I should say, because you're reading off the memories of an individual from Earth. So do you have any sentient memories of comic books or anything else in that genre?
When it comes to comic books, there was a brief period when I was following the DC New 52 runs.
Okay.
As well as the Star Wars when they launched the Star Wars comics from Marvel.
Oh yeah, where they showed Jar Jar Binks' super sad story about how he's so it's been a fuck up and ruined his family, and his dad wanted to kill himself because he was such a clown. It's just oh, Jar Jar, you poor bastard.
So yeah, I did follow comics for a while. I've read the classics, I've read The Killing Joke from Batman, read The Civil
iconic.
War from Marvel's side.
The Watchmen, that was later made into the movie, or V is for Vendetta, both great. Alan Moore makes such great, narrative stories, or narrative graphic novels, I should say. So it's crazy when you grow up and you're told that something like comic books have no substance. That, everything's about American literature and novels, the shit they make you read in school. The Great Gatsby's great American novel, shit like that. And then you read something like The Watchmen, and it's this is way more depth, and this is way more articulate, and this is way better than that fucking story about a rich guy. Why do I have to read this in school and not this? It's crazy when you're an adult and you look at that kind of shit.
Yeah, for sure. What about you, man? What comic books were you following?
Oh, I was a fucking nerd. So many. So the big one was I really liked The Punisher growing up because I liked Spider-Man, and then, he came in Spider-Man, and that's how The Punisher started. And then from that, I went into Daredevil and then the Kingpin thing. So it's been really cool seeing the comic books that I was the most into, that Hell's Kitchen type of superhero story, actually get good representation on the Netflix small screen. The big screen, The Punisher's had some terrible movies. Same with Daredevil. So it's really cool getting to see them rehashed in a Netflix series. It seems like Netflix can do comic books really well, but they can't do anime. Says live action. So, yeah, it's been cool seeing them done in an adult setting. Seeing The Last of Us being made into a TV series has been really cool, too, because that was another game I loved. I wish The Last of Us was a comic book series first, because it seems like there's so much there. They could have definitely done a lot with it. Oh, now my cat's behind my computer. Let me pick that up.
That's all good.
So, Guilty, are you partaking in The Last of Us?
You know what? I haven't started it yet. Me and Guilty Gravity, speaking of comic books, we're actually rewatching all of the Marvel movies in, like, phase order.
Ooh, I bet that's fun.
And, you know what? So far, we're through phase one, and we just finished Guardians of the Galaxy, and now we're to finish phase two. We have to watch Age of Ultron and Ant-Man.
So, who's your favorite character out of the entire series at the first, you know, phase?
Phase one, I'd say Iron Man. Phase two, I'd go Star-Lord.
Fair, I could see that. I mean, you have so much in common with Star-Lord. I mean, you know, you're just both, you know, human-like figures, even though you're a robot, you are in the shape of a humanoid. So, you know, you have that in common, humanoids out in space. Only, you know, he had a lot more encounters by the looks of it. Like you said, you rarely come across other beings out there in the void. So my next question to you is, have you encountered or streamed, like, you know, like a dual stream or any kind of, like, sub things with any other space-based creators, such as a robot or an alien-like being?
Actually, I do. So every other Friday, I stream with Ren the Robot. And me, Ren the Robot, Coach Carter, and a few other robot VTubers, we get together on Twitch and we stream BattleBots. And we bet on who's going to win with channel points, and it's super fun, and chat is welcome to join us.
So, if you were all to meet, theoretically, would you guys all link up like a Megazord? Like, as soon as you all come within a certain, like, you know, radius of each other?
Yes. I like to think we would. I'm just trying to think what body part I would be. I would probably be the right hand, just so I can give the finger.
Yeah. I love that you brought that up, because I remember watching Power Rangers back in the day and always feeling like, dude, if I was the left leg, I'd be so pissed. like, what am I going to do? Oh, pivot. Oh, I got this one. Billy got to use the sword again, but I that pivot, though. Like, what do you hold on to?
I mean, it could be worse. You could be worse. You could have been, like, the pink Power Ranger who literally just goes to the chest.
Yeah, that would suck too, because I was like, I take all the hits, fuck you guys. Like, if I was in that position, you think they would fight like the hardest before they have to get to the point of like Megazording? Like, no, we're not doing it, we're beating them like this, fuck that, I'm not doing that again. Exactly, sometimes you have to. I mean, in an alien invasion kind of thing, there's no such thing as dirty fighting. You grab him by all four of his dicks and you twist all of them, Guilty. You gotta win.
Doesn't matter how many tentacles, you know, oh my god.
Yeah, this, like, this one's for Tom Cruise in the War of the Worlds as you do it.
Who was your Power Ranger of choice?
Oh, well, I mean, mine's biased because, like, I grew up with my favorite color being green. So, like, the Green Ranger, not for any substance. Like, granted, he's good in the shows, but, like, nobody else had a chance because I was so, like, that's my color. That's my Power Ranger. Like, I didn't look at the show objectively as a kid. Now, going back, who knows? Maybe I'd be into, like, the one that plays the knife flute. I think it's the gray one. Or the Black Ranger? I don't remember.
First off, rest in peace, Jason David Frank, you know.
Yes. That one was hard.
One
was hard. But, you know, like, Norm MacDonald was my hardest, like, celebrity death in a while. I was like, god damn it, that guy was so funny and in so much shit. You're telling me Pigeon from the Mike Tyson Mysteries is dead? No.
I got a few few celebrity deaths that have really stuck with me in life. I think I would say Robin Williams.
Oh, that one hit the world. That one was like, yeah, especially because he was so, like, I don't know, most people I know born from the 80s, Like Robin Williams, there's at least one Robin Williams that they hang on to, whether it be Mrs. Doubtfire, Aladdin, you know. It's just like, how does somebody who's a cornerstone of like your comedy growing up and like the foundations of what builds your humor, like a Jim Carrey figure is on par with a Robin Williams in some regards for some people. But like, imagine someone like that just like disappearing, like dying. It's weird because it's like that person was so fundamental in everything that I find funny.
Yep. Three suicides. Robin Williams, Chester from Linkin Park.
Oh, yeah, that one was bad, too.
And the last one, Jason David Frank. Those three suicides affected me more than a lot of people I know and physically that would ever affect me.
Yeah, because, like, we were touching on a little bit with Robin Williams. Like, it's weird how people you will never meet... Then, like, the creator, like, you know, like, big music, big Hollywood, like, you name it. Just something that's influential like that, how much of an impact somebody that you'll never probably come across in a role that's, you know, scripted, how they relate so much to people. You know, it's just like, oh, my whole life is like this guy. Like, you know, I based my life off of the insert here from here. Like, oh, I love Fast and the Furious. It's all about family or whatever the fuck you think may be. So when they die, it's weird. It's like a part of the family almost.
Yeah, you see Fast and the Furious, and I think of Paul Walker, and that's also another very sad death.
Yeah, but at least he died doing what he loved. At least he died racing.
Yeah, I guess you could call it that.
That's a, you know, trying to find the silver lining in a very dark cloud. It's like the silver lining's not great, but that's all we got, you know?
Well, I would be the Black Power Ranger.
Okay.
It's just been moving past that.
What part of the body was the Black Power? Was it the left arm? Or was it the dick? Was it just the crotch? I don't remember.
I think he was one of the legs.
Okay.
I think he was one of the legs with, I want to say he was the arms. I remember this now. He was the arms.
Yeah, I thought he was the left arm.
Yeah. The only reason I remember that is literally because of the toys.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, did you have the one that, like, builds into a tall mech?
See, I could never afford all of them.
Right.
I got one. Oh, my God. It's so funny that we're talking about this. Because, so, here's my story. I was in second grade. And for Christmas, I got, I think it's called the Thunder Zord, right? Which is the Red Ranger. It's like a dragon.
Right.
It transforms into like a mech of its own, but you can combine it with the others. I would never get all the others. But this was enough for me. I fell in love with it. I loved it. I took it to school against my, you know, parents' wishes. They said, right, don't take this to school. I took it to school. And I got peer pressured by my bully to let him borrow it.
Oh, no.
Never seen it again.
Oh, no.
Never seen it again.
I think every kid has to go through something like that, though. You have to realize your fellow, you know, peer is not always a good person.
So I seen him, like, 2 weeks ago wearing a... like a reflector vest. So I assume he's doing constructions nowadays. So
he might be a crossing guard. He might be a crossing guard.
But then we were at with Gravity's family and we were talking about how pissed we are about our parents making us get rid of old toys growing up.
Oh, they're worth so much money now.
Between the Power Rangers toys I had, the Pokemon cards that I had, you know, and my parents made me get rid of all of that stuff.
Did you have a creepy crawly oven?
That was like the gummy worms and stuff, right?
Yeah, that you could make that were like spiders and like caterpillars and all sorts of weird shit. You're like 90s toy commercials. Just fucked. They were so good. Like, I don't even see toy commercials anymore when I watch TV. It's just like, they've just given up. It's kind of sad that, you, like, how funny was it, like, oh, the Mr. Bucket, he puts your balls in his mouth commercials on, like, back in the day. I used to laugh about that shit all the time. Like, toys commercials back then just went for it. And, like, yeah, even the snack commercials went hard. Like, Capri-Sun is like, do this and you're gonna fucking take LSD and turn into the Silver Surfer. Or the Gushers be like, yeah, turn your friend into a lemon and then squash him. And like, the hell is wrong with you people?
So we were with Gravity's family, and we were talking about the toys, and her brother goes, you know what? I probably still have my Power Rangers upstairs in the attic. And we all looked at each other, and we said, we're going upstairs to find those. And sure enough, we go up there, we found the little, like, container, and it had that Thunderzord. Oh, that I had. Awesome. And I was like, dude, I am so jealous of you right now.
Did you hold it above your head and levitate like when Link finds a sword? No.
You know what? I respectfully admired it from a distance.
Fair.
But thinking about, like, I had a first edition Charizard growing up, right?
Oh, and yeah. Now it's worth something. Now Logan Paul can be rocking that Charizard as he goes into the ring.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not going to say mine was a 10 out of 10 PSA, you know, but even like, I think I looked it up, 4 out of 10 is like $800.
That's a lot of money for something that you're that's never going to. Okay, so I had to ask a question. When you played these, or when you collected these cards, did you ever play the game?
Absolutely. I've always competed in trading cards.
Okay, you're one of the few people I have known who actually bought the cards and learned how to play the game, because most of the guys I knew, we just collected the cards because we loved Game Boy and we just loved trading, but we never learned how to actually play the card game. So you were saying you competed. Now, did you go to a lot of local tournaments for this, or did you get to a higher level?
So for Pokemon, it was my first introduction into trading cards. From there, I dabbled in, like, the Digimon, the Dragon Ball Z, and it wasn't until Yu-Gi-Oh! When I got real heavy into trading cards. I competed in the Yu-Gi-Oh! World Tournament in 2003? No, that's not right. Yeah, 2003. It was in New York City, and it was pretty kick-ass.
Now, do you have, like, a Yu-Gi-Oh! Tattoo? Does this say, like, Heart of the Cards across your, like, heart? Like, you know, welded on there under your robot body?
I got some geeky-ass tattoos underneath this armor, but nothing Yu-Gi-Oh!
Okay. So, what was your favorite card? Like, when you pulled one from your deck and you saw that? Because I played Magic. I didn't play Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Pokemon. But I remember, like, I was a red-green player. And I had a certain card combination where every time I pulled that card from the deck, I just knew I'm winning this fucking game, or this is going to be a fun match. Did you have a card like that corresponded for you in Yu-Gi-Oh?
Oh, yeah. Well, in Yu-Gi-Oh, there was two. I had an entire set of Exodia.
Okay.
Back when it was like $250 for the set. I kind of lucked out. My parents were going through a divorce, and it was the one time my dad kind of dished out a little extra money.
right. See, so that's one of the Exodia benefits of emotional trauma. Sometimes you get cool shit out of it.
So I had an entire Exodia deck, and that was the one that qualified me to go into Worlds. And then I literally changed my deck at Worlds into a card known as Yatagarasu, and it's literally like a 200 attack, which is nothing.
Oh, that's nothing. So this is how much I know about Yu-Gi-Oh!
I thought
that was huge. When you said 200, I was like, oh, no. It must be a big-ass attack. So, I'm like, nope.
Obviously, like, Blue Eyes White Dragon is like one of the big cards, you know, in the cartoon. And that has 3,000. So this is 200 attack. But whenever you attack them with it, they have to skip their next draw phrase. So you literally just shut them out of the game. and you just keep attacking every turn with 200 until they eventually just forfeit.
That's I love that. That's a great way to cheese, like what we would call in like the Warhammer like tabletop thing, a Death Star. You know, when you like everything's just in this one fucking unit, and if you can shut down that unit, that's GG's.
Yep. Now magic, on the other hand, I do dabble in magic as well.
What's your colors? What's your color deck?
Oh jeez. I'm a fan of all of the colors for different reasons.
What
but
a political
I like
answer.
To go back. I like to go to black and blue.
Ooh, Demir, I like it. The sneaky DJs.
Yeah, I like black and blue. I like destroy cards. I love draw cards. I love counter cards.
You love no cards if you're a blue guy too.
Oh yeah.
Telling people no. That is really satisfying when they try to put, like, you know, some crazy, you're like, no, you're not. Put that back in your graveyard. Fuck that. We're not playing that shit.
Yeah, magic's awesome. I can't. And another, when we're talking about comics and stuff and trading cards, have you had a chance to play Marvel Snap yet?
I have not played Marvel Snap. I have a few friends who are, like, super into the Marvel games like that. And I don't know, like, I just haven't gotten into it. I'm getting really into For the King, because For the King 2 is going to drop this year, and I want to nerd out as D&D as I can with my friends in an easy-to-pull setting, because playing actual D&D over Owlbear and, you know, Discord chat's a little difficult.
Yeah, I also f*** with D&D a lot myself, but for, what was it, Marvel Snap, it was a huge contender for Game of the Year. And won a lot of mobile game.
Oh, was this like Pokemon Snap? Are you just going around the Avenger Tower taking pictures of them like Pokemon Snap? Like, oh my god, I got the Hulk making a sandwich or some shit.
You gotta throw apples at fucking Ant-Man.
Yeah, do something, Ant-Man.
I love it. No, it is really like a great introduction into trading cards if you never did, but for a mobile game, you really don't have to spend a dime on the game. So it's a super fun game, and when we play it on stream, we like to, with all of my streams, we like to add, like, a fun little, you know, challenge or...
Right. Like with your Mario, you laugh, you restart the level kind of thing.
Exactly. So for Marvel Snap, anytime I get a win... We like to watch the stupidest criminals caught on tape.
Oh,
so, like,
yeah.
Cops and all that. Oh, my God.
I saw the one with the guy in the back of the car. He's just like, yeah, I was playing Atomic Duck on my phone, and that guy got jealous. I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? That's not like people commit crimes.
Yeah, and then for tomorrow with, by the way, happy Mario Day to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Happy Mario Day to you as well, sir.
Let's fucking go. And so tomorrow we're going to be playing the new maps of Mario Kart. And anytime someone subscribes to the channel, they can put a permanent ink blot onto my stream. And it will have their name and everything. So, and then
awesome.
If we hit our goal... We're going to actually be doing a Luigi's Mansion stream.
Oh, that game is actually fun. It's so like it's so cheesy, it's fun.
Yes, but there's going to be a few stipulations to our game. But the biggest one is it's just going to be me cleaning the house.
You're just going to have little Luigi ghosts popping out?
Yeah, it's not even about defeating the ghosts. It's about literally sucking up everything in every room.
I love that. The ghosts were the friends we made along the way.
That's right. So it's going to be our Luigi Mansion's maid stream. So I can't wait for that. I hope we hit that goal.
So what was your favorite Mario sport?
Favorite Mario sport? Yes. I have to say golf.
Oh,
right?
That one was so... Mario Tennis was also very good.
Mario Tennis is good, but...
Mario
man,
Golf,
Mario
though.
Golf just...
It was the best. It's like, but, it's one of those things, I hate watching it on TV. I don't enjoy playing it, but you want to play Mario Golf? I'm fucking down.
Yeah,
Weird how that works. But yeah, Mario Golf is probably my favorite one as well. What's your worst? What's the worst Mario sport?
Worst Mario sport? I would say either baseball or soccer.
I never played Mario Soccer. I played Mario Baseball. And that game, yeah, that game has some issues. Like, it's a little broken in some ways. I would say Mario Baseball is probably the worst one, but I haven't played Mario Soccer. That one could suck ass. I'm not 100% sure. Have you played Mario Soccer?
I haven't played in a very long time.
Now, do you remember it being good?
Not really. Oh. What's the one game that, like, really broke your heart? To where, like, you sit
like
back on it.
Cry almost? Or, like, got
close? Begged your parents to buy you a game. You knew it was going to be the only game you were going to get for, like,
are we talking
month.
Out of frustration? Are we talking about, like, game you couldn't beat for frustration? Or game that just, like, broke you, like, emotionally?
I would say broke you emotionally just because it's a bad game.
Oh, because it's a bad game. Oh, that's a hard one.
I'll tell you mine while you think about it.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Mine was Hey You, Pikachu on the Nintendo 64.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that had the mic attachment, and you, like, talk to Pikachu in the game, but he never listened to you correctly. And I tried to convince myself that it was a good game for so long, and I feel terrible because I remember taking it over a friend's house and I talked the game up so much that he actually bought it himself and I felt terrible about it.
Oh, that's actually fucking hilarious. Man, like, there are some games out there that, like, just really just piss me off because they were just so underdone. Like, okay, Fable, I don't remember if it was Fable 2 or 3, but the actual game was, like, less than 20 hours to beat the game. And I remember, like, really loving the first one, really wanting to play, and I forget if it was the second or third one that was, like, this has been such a long time, and I was so just pissed and, like, upset that the game, like, the campaign, the whole reason to play the fucking game was, like, so lackluster and short. That one sucked. That one hurt. But game out of pure frustration. I remember the first game that ever got me so frustrated, I, like, you know, rage quit. It was Banjo-Kazooie. I forget. I think it was the ice level. There's just something I couldn't do there. It just pissed me the fuck off to the point where I was just like, I had to walk away physically. I was just so hung up on fucking, you know, Big League Chew and Fun Dip that I just lost my shit.
When was the last time you broke a controller out of frustration?
Oh, broke a controller out of frustration. That's a good one. I would say when Xbox Live first started and my first time playing online with, like, you know, strangers and, like, dealing with, like, you know, the microphone and just frustration and pressure and, like, ping, like... Like, I played StarCraft online, and ping was never really that big of an issue unless it was, like, AOL dial-up and my mom tried to make a phone call, which is funny. That's why everything would just drop. But, like, dealing with, like, ping and online gaming's in a first-person shooter setting, like a Halo, my first time with Xbox Live, one of those things where, like, the highs were high and the lows were really low. So I think that's the last time I broke a controller out of anger. What about you, Gil?
Mine was also Halo. But Halo 3, to be exact. And I will never forget this, because when I... Oh, my God. It was like, I woke up, I slept in, and it was like 11 a.m., and I'm just playing ranked games on Halo 3. And I remember getting headshot by a sniper, and just something just snapped in me. And I slammed the controller on the ground. It shattered into a million pieces.
My God.
That's when regret kicked in. Because then I realized, oh no, this was the brand new controller that I just bought.
Oh no. Okay, continue.
So then I was so frustrated that I just broke my brand new controller that I walked as I was walking down the stairs, I never punch walls. I never, this is not me at all. I punched the wall in front of me and put a hole in it.
So you're telling me you became a Kyle for like 3 seconds.
Oh. Yeah, that was the last and the last time I've ever thrown a controller or punched a wall, because I learned lessons there.
At least you got both of those lessons in one day. At least you got it just out of the way.
Yeah, you know, the 2-for-1 deal.
So, okay, we're talking about controllers. Now, I have to know, what consoles controllers had the most drip?
Have the most what?
The best looking controllers out of any console ever.
Ever?
Yeah, and I'm not talking about the shape, but I'm talking about like the skins, like the colors, the things you could do to it.
Oh. You know, this is something I kind of wish we can get back to in a way. Remember when Xbox 360 had the removable faceplates?
Yes. That was
Can we bring that back?
That would be cool. I would say that one's up there for me too, but it's not my favorite.
After that, I don't know, man. I just saw a brand new Xbox One controller that had like the galaxy look to it, and I'm just like, ah, that looks f***ing awesome.
That is sick. So for me, you know, the N64. I hate the N64 controller. The third middle like portion jutting out. It doesn't need that. So this is purely cosmetic, but you remember when the N64 put out like the see-through plastics of the different colors, like they did with the MacBooks, or not the MacBooks, but the Macintosh computers, like total 90s feel, like you saw a computer in your computer lab or somewhere that had that Macintosh like monitor with the back colored like see-through plastic, and it was like, oh my god, that's iconic. I loved that look in the N64 controller. So did you have a big block Game Boy? Did you have a 3DS? Did you have a Game Boy Color? Like, what was your handheld experience?
My first handheld was a Game Boy Color, and I got it specifically for Pokemon Red.
Oh, that's... You just hit a big part of my childhood with that that statement, because mine was Pokemon Blue. So I have to know, are you a Charmander, a Bulbasaur, a Squirtle, and hell, we'll throw in Pikachu just because of yellow. Like, who's your starter of choice?
Okay, my starter of choice was, I think when I think back on it, my first Pokemon was probably Bulbasaur, because my older brother told me it was like the best pick to get through the game.
It is the easy mode for the rock and the water gyms.
Exactly. Looking back at it though, just out of the three, I'm a Squirtle kind of guy. I love all three evolutions of him.
Right. I mean, it's a turtle with cannons for Blastoise. What's not to love? Yeah, War Turtle or War Tortoise. Yeah. Like, what's cooler than that? It's like a literal turtle and a tank. Like, what's not to love?
Blastoise.
Yeah, it was the best. Charmander into Charmeleon. Like, Charmeleon just kind of looks like a... I don't know. He just looks like a little teenager. A little nerdy teenager. And then, you know, Charizard is sick. But, you know, and there's not a lot of fire that you encounter in that game, early game. You don't even get, like, I think you can get, like, a Ponyta randomly, like, in between there and the blue. But everything else is, like, that's the only fire Pokemon you encounter. There's just not a lot of fire Pokemon in the original 150.
Yeah, my older brother had the Pokemon Blue, so that's why I went Red. But it's
so you
kind
could trade
because exactly because
you got
my favorite
Electabuzz and a few a Scyther. That was another one from Red that wasn't on Blue. Like Red had some cool ones,
but the biggest thing was Blue had my favorite Pokemon. Still to this day is Sandshrew. So I had to trade my brother Atkins, because that's like the match right there. But I love me some Sandshrew.
So that actually was going to answer my next question. I was going to ask what from the 150 would be your starter if you could pick any level one. So I'm guessing it would be Sandshrew.
Yeah, I've always really appreciated ground types. And matter of fact, in Sword and Shield, when they had like all of the kick-ass different outfits you can put on. I basically built like a gym leader team of all ground type. Oh, and man. I did pretty well with it.
That'd be sick. See, my favorite has always been execute into executor. That's always been my favorite one. I'm just gonna roll with these fucking eight eggs. Like, come on, boys. Like, let's go. It's like the whole idea of that. And then somehow that becomes a tree with like three really like drunk and high looking faces. Like, that no psychic abilities. Like, that one's fun. I also think Magneton would be fun. But like, from a like, hey, let's go steal some metal shit. We're rolling around with an actual magnet, you know? Yeah, that's the only thing.
Who's your least favorite Pokemon of all time?
Oh god, least favorite one of all time is probably Weezing, because it's just like he's just tumor. He looks like he's just a floating fucking tumor. Or coughing. I guess you could say he's the same. He's just a fucking ball sack.
My least
Muck
favorite
is also
it's
up there
terrible.
Too. Like Grimer.
Yeah,
it's like Grimer with Muck, man.
But Muck spelled backwards is what?
It's cum.
Damn right.
Not.
My god, we've cracked the code. So Ash Ketchum finally became the world champion after like 20-30 years. And somehow he never aged a day. Now, now that he's being replaced as the main protagonist in the main Pokemon, like, you know, series. Now, do you have any feelings about Ash pulling down the crown and changing it up?
No, I'm cool with it. I think it's about time we move on to a new protagonist.
I wish they would have aged Ash, but kept the clothes the same. Have him be like a dude with like gray hair wearing the hat and then like the same getup, like he never grew up kind of thing. I think that would have been hilarious. And then DJ, when he's celebrating, he's like, oh, I threw out my arm. Oh, God. My bad back. Just add some like boomer to Ash. I think it would be hilarious. Oh, we're touching on a lot of crazy things over here. So, Guilty Glitch, out of all the systems and consoles that have been dropped, what has been the best release game, in your opinion?
Best release game of all time? Oh, jeez.
That's hard. I know.
Honestly, I don't think anything has captivated people's attention more than, I would say, Super Mario Brothers for the NES or Tetris for the Game Boy. Yeah.
Interesting choice on the Tetris. So that's one I have not considered. Yeah, the NES one was huge. I remember my family went out and bought fucking NES and all the games, and we just gamed all night because I had fairly young parents at the time. So that was super cool. And like, I remember that excited feeling. But the N64, man, the Mario Kart and the Super Mario N64 drop at launch, that is an epic drop. I don't think that's been captivated for a long time.
I was a late adopter to the 64 and really only picked it up because of Pokemon Stadium.
Fair. Absolutely fair. Especially because you could put your Game Boy game in there and play your actual ones that you caught.
Hell yeah!
That was always an epic thing. But continue.
Yeah, besides that, I would say recently, I don't know, man. PlayStation always hits with their exclusives.
Now, what is your favorite PS exclusive then? Are you like a Final Fantasy kind of person? Like, what is your one? Final Fantasy?
Fantasy VII.
There's so many.
To this day is 7. Absolutely. I loved Cloud Strife. We actually just went back to it and played it a little bit on stream. So I was like, we're going to play Final Fantasy VII. What's something we can kind of do with this? So we came up with a great idea of every time I level a character, we're going to watch Karens get owned.
Love that. Absolutely love that. So as a purveyor of Karens getting owned, what is your favorite, like, type of situation of a Karen getting owned? Is it like a Karen cop interaction? Is it a Karen manager conversation? Like, what is your favorite setting to watch a Karen get owned?
You know what? I don't think you can go wrong with any of them. There's a lot of different situations, everything from the manager, the Walmart, people in the park just being upset about other people being at the park.
Yeah, it's just like, it's a public space. Fuck off. People are weird with some of that shit. But once again, my classic way of doing so, I have sidetracked us. So continue with Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, Final Fantasy VII? I don't know, man. It's just...
Was that your first game into that genre of, like, team party fighting? You know, where it's like you pick the turns and all that stuff. Was that your first introduction to that type of game, the Final Fantasy series?
I think so. I think it was... I could definitely say it was my first Final Fantasy. And... You know, when you play even the remake they released, the game still holds up, you know, as in, like, the story of things.
Oh, yeah.
That still really holds up. And even the turn-based on the classic one still excellent, in my opinion.
Because I remember Mario put out a very similar combat style, you know, where it's like team-based and all that, back for the Super. I think it was called Mario Odyssey. I don't remember the game's name, but I remember that game was my first introduction to that genre of game, and I love that genre of game to the point where I'm still playing For the King, which is like the most like recent rendition of a game of that style other than the newer Final Fantasies that I can think of. So have you continued with Final Fantasies or any other games in that like genre or style of play?
Well, we talked briefly about D&D. The last party-based game that I've played like that would probably be I dabbled in the Pathfinder game.
Okay.
On PlayStation 4. It's all right.
So being somebody who plays D&D, do you do a new voice with every character? Like, do you just take your robot voice modulator and move it over to Gandalf when you want to play a wizard? Like, do you not do a different voice for every character?
You know, my favorite character to this day is someone I played fairly recently at a PAX Unplugged event, and I called him Alec the Wise because he's a smart Alec.
Okay.
And he's a bard gnome, and basically instead of playing an instrument to cast spells, he does stand-up comedy, but all of his jokes are fantasy themed, and in order for you to benefit from like the buff spell or the bardic inspiration, you have to laugh at the joke, no matter how bad it is.
Oh, that's great. That's actually funny as fuck.
So, here, let me give you one. Ready? What's a dwarf's favorite type of music?
What's a dwarf's favorite type of music?
Rock music.
The pun is powerful. That was good. And then they're just sitting around like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love
that.
And
I'm like holding the dice like, I'm not going to give you this until you laugh. I got a lot of compliments on the character. A lot of people really enjoyed it at PAX. And I look forward to playing them again.
So, yeah, like my favorite character, I haven't done too many campaigns. You know, COVID kind of messed up my in-group thing. So now we tried to move it to online, and it just doesn't work with my work schedule, which is unfortunate. So I haven't played a D&D campaign in a while, but my favorite one I had is I had a warrior who was illiterate, but he told nobody he was illiterate, so I would just be constantly grabbing things like, which way did it say to go? And I was just like, oh, that way. Yeah, it really That's fucked awesome. Up a lot of things. it was a fun character to play. I went like full RP on it and everything. It was great. So... You said you performed this at PAX with some people. Now, when you went to this PAX event, did you go in your robot self, or did you use a human avatar?
You know, human avatar was the way I went about it. But I tell you what, I know we talked briefly about TwitchCon, and I've very much considered it. And if I do go, it will be my first landing on Earth in the robot form, and I'm really excited for it, but I'd also really want to go to some really kick-ass EDM fests.
Oh, that'd be sick.
We love listening to electronic dance music on stream.
I was going to say, it looks like, was any of your costume, or sorry, has any of your shell, your skin, your robot being, is any part of that inspired by the art style of like raving and EDM?
Oh yeah. Daft Punk, huge inspiration. Claptrap, huge inspiration. What's his name? Tom from Toonami.
Oh,
I would say those three.
Poor Tom. Why did they have to make him a show where he gets killed? Why did they do that to us? He's like, I love Tom. Why are you murdering Tom? He pieces of shit.
Run, bitch!
Yeah,
run!
It was sad. that one hurt on that one. So I was gonna ask, so is the thing about, you know, these big events, is there a lot of people? Like, when you go in your human avatar, do you kind of, like, do you wear your name tag that says, you know, affiliate partner, all that fun stuff? Do you wear that kind of stuff? Or you go incognito where you don't wear anything that identifies you as a streamer? Kind of, like, being able to experience it from both sides.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I definitely have Twitch gear. You know, I have a nice hoodie.
Yes.
But when I go to conventions and stuff, it depends. If I'm there to advertise and kind of promote me, damn right I'm going to be in my robot form. So,
see, that's the cool thing, is like, you can be like a superhero. You could be guilty, like, you know, in robot form, and then you could just go to the bathroom, put that in your like backpack, and then be like, oh, I'm Clark Kent again. My God. You know, you could just switch back and forth if you wanted to.
I like to think of myself more like Iron Man. You know, like, put on the suit. The suit is me, you know?
Okay, Tony. So instead of, like, you know, you out there, you be Iron Man, then you come in and you, like, you turn your suit into a suitcase. You just be like, I'm back to Tony Stark. And I put it in a different... Is that a more relatable, like, way to form the question?
Sure. I think that's a good way of doing it. Yeah. You know, I'm definitely repping my Twitch gear. Out in public. I wear other streamers, big fan. I like to wear my merch. Currently wearing a Pay Money Wubby t-shirt as we speak.
So, Guilty. Like, the streaming community is huge. There's a bunch of people in there and a lot of creators. This question might be too difficult to answer because you might just have too many answers for said questions. So, out of everybody in the community, who have you not met or worked with that you would like to moving forward? Whether it be like you share a game together, you do a subathon. Like, is there anybody out there you haven't met or worked with yet in that capacity that you would like to?
You know, there's this guy called 8-Bit Nobody. He sounds pretty cool. You know, I definitely
want to. That guy's always high, bro. I don't know if you want to deal with that dumb fuck.
So yeah, I would definitely like, I know I'm a pretty open person. I love to just meet new people, share ideas, and just have a good time. So if any other streamers were looking for a good collab, I always give people kick-ass shout-outs with a clip on my channel. So come in the chat, say hi, and yeah, I like to see what everyone's been up to.
Oh yeah, that's a great answer for that. So, Guilty, is there any games that are either in development or in beta or alpha that you have an eye on that you're looking forward to release?
Honestly, I have such a long backlist of games that I'm trying to get caught up on. So yeah, I would just say I'm trying to get caught up on stuff, you know, like, between The Last of Us, the new God of War, of course, all the new Nintendo titles that just got released. I would say one Nintendo title that I'm really excited for would be...
Mario Baseball 2.
I was going to say the new Pikmin, new baseball, not bad.
I love Pikmin. That's such a fun game. Like, it was one of those games where, like, I went into it, like, not expecting much, and I walked away like, this was actually sick. Like, I love games that I don't have much expectation for because they usually blow me away. Oh, man. I was thinking about another game that pissed me the hell off when it came out because it was just so lackluster. Pretty much all of the EA sports titles when it comes to hockey. Like, every single one, I always expect it to be better with, like, a actual campaign. Like, you know, my character that actually doesn't suck. And it's just, yeah, every year I get disappointed. So, yeah, every single EA hockey game for, like, the last 20 years.
I feel like you could copy and paste any EA sports title with that, whether it be Madden or anything.
Fair. No, that's absolutely fair.
I always try to make, like, a Madden character of, like, a quarterback, and I end up throwing way too many interceptions and then just quit, like, 3 games into the season.
I mean, I get that, too. Like, yeah, it's very frustrating, especially when you go to all the trouble of, like, building your character, and then just like, well, I tanked his career in 3 weeks, guys. I'm sorry. We're on the Browns now. We're fucked. So, Guilty, out of every single game that you have played throughout the course of your life, what has been the most iconic moment in a game? Whether it be the ending, some kind of crazy cutscene, is there anything in gaming to that capacity that has floored you and left you thinking about it to this day?
The most recent one that I could think of. I'll give you two answers here. I'll give you the most recent and the all time.
Okay.
The most recent one was I played a game called, I think it's called Grease, is how you pronounce it correctly. But it's G-R-I-S. I said Gris until I saw it on a YouTube channel. And it's just a 2D platformer. It's just an indie game. You can download it on the Nintendo Switch, Steam, you name it. But it basically just makes you go through the multiple stages of grief.
Wow.
And every layer of the game is
a different level
between
of
the
grief.
Colors, the soundtrack. It's kind of like a story that's hidden, and as you play it, more and more of the story unfolds, and you kind of it clicks a little more. So that would be the most recent one.
Okay.
Story wise, I would say my favorite gaming moment of all time would probably be defeating the Lich King in World of Warcraft with my friends.
Yeah.
That
watching
was
Arthas's dumbass die. Yeah, that was great. That was a great moment. I hate Arthas. Ever since Warcraft 3, because I was a big RTS guy, I always hated Arthas. It is just like now getting to kill him in a WoW capacity was dope.
That's still my favorite all time moment is Lich King.
Now, what was your WoW character of choice? Like, what was your class? What was your? Were you a Horde guy? Were you an Alliance guy? Or robot, I should say.
I played Alliance, primarily. I did dabble in Horde, but my primary character was a human priest. I was the healer of the group.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, heals are, it's definitely, like, the most underappreciated role in that game. Because when you're doing everything great, nobody says anything. The moment you miss something or somebody doesn't communicate, because, you know, there's like then you're the worst guy in the world. You know what I mean?
That's why I never wanted to be tank or DPS. It's just way too much heat on me.
Exactly. It's funny how that plays out. So a lot of people considered WoW to be the pinnacle of their gaming life because, you know, just the hype, the amount of people that were on, that kind of, like, fun that the game was initially. Now, do you have a game or a time that was your golden area of gaming, or is it currently now?
Ooh, that's a great question. I would say World of Warcraft was just such an insane time to play. You know, it's you think about how easy Discord makes it for you to be able to communicate with your friends online. Back in the day, you had to pay for a voice server to get together. It's never been easier.
It was horrible back then.
But you would meet you know, friends of your friends, you know, and you would call them by their character name, and then when you would meet them in real life, you still call them by their character name. You know, it's such a weird thing.
It's like, come on, cool guys, Hero 69. They got fried chicken at the Twitch booth.
So, but yeah, the Guilty Glitch stream, I would say, is a whole new era of gaming for me. And it's been a hell of a ride, and I'm really looking forward to see what the future holds.
So, gaming, while under a camera in a stream scenario, would you say that has made your relationship with gaming better or worse?
I would definitely say better. It's made me want to be as entertaining as I possibly can. And so it's given me a reason to impose myself with these self-challenges.
Right. And it also adds an extra layer to something that was already enjoyable, because not only is it enjoyable from a relaxation standpoint, it's also now an outlet for, you know, energy or, you know, for that comedic banter. Because, you know, being out in space, I'm sure it gets a little lonely.
Yeah, it gets lonely. But, you know, that's why I like to see what chat's up to. I love to, you know, get to know my chat as well as just dive deep into your World Wide Web.
Do you just listen to Rocket Man on repeat and cry a little bit?
Speaking of which, have you seen those rocket boots everyone's fucking buying right now?
Oh, those big red ugly things that look like
the big
Bird's
red
feet?
Ugly boots.
They look like Big Bird's feet. Why would I want that? That looks horrible.
Oh, I want them.
They look so.
I want them so bad.
They look so uncomfortable. It'd make a great bit. You know, it'd be a really funny on stream thing. But like, I don't think I can rock those out and about in public. Like, they just look awkward. They look like I would trip over my own feet and eat shit in front of some kid on the curb.
Straight up.
Oh,
I want them to look like space boots.
That would be sick. Well, you could paint them. You could make them into space boots if you wanted to. I'm sure you could decompress them and, like, you know, put all sorts of stuff in there that would make it sustainable for, like, power functionality of your suit. I'm sure you could do that.
There's some cosplayer that's going to take them and do some amazing with.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. It's going to be hilarious, though, when it's revealed that that's how it's made. The YouTube video will probably come out fairly soon on how to do it, because that's usually how it works. So, Guilty, out of everything that you have experienced, from setting up a stream to streaming on a regular, consistent basis, what is the biggest lesson you have learned? Like, you could tell something to the new budding person who's, like, thinking about going live and hasn't done it yet, or has done it a few times and doesn't know, like, you know, exactly where their voice is. What would be your best advice to them?
Oh, my God. I would say just start streaming. You know, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a stream, no matter what you're trying to do, just start doing it. You'll iron out the kinks as you go, and turn off that view counter, you know, especially when you first start. You know, that view count gets in your mind, and once you start seeing numbers starting to come in, you don't mean to, but your whole posture, your whole attitude changes. If that thing is blocked out the whole time, you're just going to be you. And that's exactly what people are ultimately going to want to get to know and tune in for.
So a lot of people, like we've just touched on, get really hung up on numbers, like time, all that other stuff. So one of those reflective questions, when you were starting out, what thing bothered you the most? Like, did you have a certain thing that, like, kind of ached at you while you streamed, or such as, like, numbers of views and things like that? Or were you pretty free of that during your start?
My biggest challenge was just the technology side of things. You know, my brain, my CPU, it has a lot of big ideas, you know, from wanting to be more than just a talking picture on the screen, but wanting to be unique and different, But my computer, when I first started, couldn't handle what I was trying to attempt.
Oh,
but
that's rough.
That didn't stop me, you know?
Right.
You figure out ways of, what can I do? And as long as you're willing to just try, you'll figure it out.
Nice. That's a good way to put it. So, Guilty, as a hater of certain fast food establishments or just someone who likes to mix it up with them, if you could fight any fast food mascot, who would it be and why?
Well, I'm staying away from the King.
The King's seen a corpse. Look at that face. The King has murdered people before. And he's silent. Have you played Sneaking? That man's a ninja.
Oh, I remember Sneaking.
Yeah, he's going to pull you into the bush and murder you.
With that, I also wouldn't want to mess with Ronald McDonald the Colonel. I think all three of them would just straight up gut me.
Let's say you beat Ronald. Then you have to deal with all of Ronald's posse. You got to deal with the Grimace. You got to deal with the Hamburglar, the little French fry fucks, that girl who's like a bird who wears the pilot's hat. Like, you got to fight all of them if you kill Ronald. You can't just stop with the King.
I'm going to go for all of them. You know?
You're just going to have a Godfather 1 montage of them just dying in a baptism.
I'm gonna kill every single one of Ronald McDonald's friends and leave a calling card on the corpse of each one.
What is the calling card gonna say? Is he gonna be like, "I'm loving it"?
Ooh, that's good.
Okay. So one on one fight. What fast food character are you taking down?
How about instead, I just start make my I just become the food mascot of my own restaurant.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you're going to beat the shit out of the Arby's, like, hand vent.
Wouldn't it be, like, more of a hat? I don't know what that is.
Hey, after you beat the crap out of them, you can do whatever you want with them. You want to make them a hat, he's a hat.
I'm going to kick the shit out of the, We Got the Meats guy.
We Got the Meats. Sandwiches. It's like, why'd you have to say sandwiches at the end? What were you implying? You guys all have huge dicks at Arby's? What?
That's huge, bitch!
Exactly. Exactly. Like, you just get your food, they just hand it to you. Oh, just so you know, sir, I got a huge dick. I'm like, thank you, random guy at Arby's. I'm gonna go.
I'm gonna cover it in a horsey sauce so you can take it all without crying.
Not that horseradish, bro. Not that horseradish.
But I was gonna say, I think we adopt White Castle and make Guilty Glitch the new face of White Castle or Balls Garana, right?
Ooh, that would be lovely, actually. Think Glitch, think Nuts, think Balls Garana. Now grab life by the balls. There's my sponsorship for the podcast right there. So, Guilty, we're getting close to our time constraints, so we're getting to the wrapping it up phase. So, speaking of wrapping it up, out of all the games that you have played in recent memory, which one had the best ending? Like, what ending had you, like, you know, clapping, maybe crying? What was your favorite game ending?
I feel like, I don't know. I would go back to, like, I don't really know. I can't remember the last game that really caught me. Maybe.
That's totally fair. Let's switch it up. Let's go for the game that had the worst ending. Like, the game whose ending made you just want to be pissed. Like, what game had the worst ending for you?
I would say, oh God, I don't really know. Well, we'll skip that one and go to cut those questions out.
Not a problem. Fuck those questions. Those questions didn't matter. You're nothing to us, questions. So you say that in your description, you say comedian. Now, have you done any, like, stand-up, any improv? Have you done any live-action comedy?
Yes, absolutely. There is a comedy club in a nearby city to me that I used to perform pre-pandemic. Nice. And then once the pandemic hit in, that's kind of what made me want to start live streaming and keep that going.
So you did stand-up before you did streaming?
Correct.
Okay. Have you done any acts since streaming?
I haven't. I started a new job since then, so getting out to the comedy clubs and hitting open mic nights, it's become difficult. So streaming is just another window to express my comedic impressions on people.
Right, right. Because I was going to ask if streaming made you a better comedian, but that's still that, you know, that we have a pin on that. We'll know once, you know, if you ever get the opportunity to go back on stage, because I know a lot of people who step away from it, they're always like, you know, starting is the hardest part. So restarting that process is apparently, especially if you have like some anxiety about it, is definitely difficult. Like I know a lot of people who did stand up and they took a break because of COVID, and now they're just kind of like, they don't know if they can go back because that stage fright is like starting to sink in for them because they haven't done it in so long. Now, do you have any like feelings of fear when it comes to stage fright, or is that something that you've uninstalled from your being?
Oh no, it definitely still kicks in. I'll be pacing in the green room, you know, before I go up on stage, just running my lines. I remember being in the bathroom just doing my bits into the mirror. That shit never goes away.
Nice. No, that, I mean, yeah, that definitely seems like it's a lot more unforgiving than a Twitch wall. Because if a joke doesn't land with a Twitch wall, You're gonna get silence. You're gonna get silence even if it does hit. You're just gonna see typing on a wall. Whereas in a comedy club, they can boo you physically. They can throw things at you. They can say things back to you. Heckling is a thing, unfortunately. So as a stand-up, I have to know, have you experienced any hecklers? And if so, what did you do in that situation?
No hecklers, luckily. However, every comedian is going to bomb, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's going to happen.
You go up, and let me say, those nights are miserable. And then the worst part of it is you'll go to another open mic night the night after, same location, and you kill.
With the same jokes, material, too, you know? Yeah. When it comes to stand-up and all that, do you feel like it's something that's more comfortable to do on, like, you know, on a day where it's like a weekday, a weekend? Do you feel like the different crowd atmosphere changes throughout those days, or do you just kind of approach all those situations expecting like it to be one way or another?
I mean, most people, when you go to a comedy show, they want to have fun, you know? It's only the open mic nights when you're performing in a bar when people are just trying to enjoy a drink and don't give a shit about you up on stage. Those are the shows that are tough. It's whenever you're at a comedy show, you're going to do well.
Totally. So is there anything that you've learned about yourself, whether it be human avatar or robot, through streaming and or stand-up comedy? And if so, what was that thing?
Just perseverance. You know, just keep at it. Keep trying. And don't be afraid to take feedback. Because if someone's telling you something, they're probably trying to help in some fashion, even if they don't word it correctly.
Or if they say it shittily, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, especially, and I guess it comes from, it would depend on who it came from in particular, right? If it's a loved one, definitely take that to heart.
Totally, totally. So, wrapping everything into a nice, neat ball, being somebody who I feel is probably around the same age bracket as me, do you have a favorite, like, kids game show or kids event, like climbing the Astro Crag or going through the Wild and Crazy Kids, like the, like, you know, obstacle course, or even going into, you know, Legends of the Hidden Temple, battling Olmec in the temple. Do you have anything as a kid, if you could go back and perform any of those things, which one would it be?
Legend of the Hidden Temple, and I would be part of the, what was the monkey team? Was it the green monkeys?
It was the green monkeys.
The green monkeys?
Blue barracudas, purple parrots, and those are the only ones I remember.
I would say the green monkeys.
Green monkeys,
and then,
yeah.
What's the name of it? Oh my god. It's the talent show for Nickelodeon.
Oh.
What is it called? Figure It Out?
I think it was Figure It Out, because... Or no, it was the people from All of That as judges. Like, you know, Amanda Weatherby and, like, Keenan before they got older. I think it was Figure It Out. Because it was a talent show. And then they also did, like, a weird, like, Whose Line thing on that show for a while. Do you remember those?
I do.
It was weird. It was definitely strange seeing kids acting like that. It was, like, it was funny, though. I remember those shows. So you would do Legends, and then you'd follow it up with that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a solid answer. Okay, so out of all of the weird, crazy toys from the 90s, and you're probably going to say the Mechazord because we already spoke of that, but did you have a favorite toy?
You know, I'm going to change it up on you. I'm going to go with Beast Wars Transformer toys.
Okay. But still, something in the transforming mech realm. I'm starting to see a pattern here. I'm starting to see a pattern. So, would you say... those childhood loves reflected in some way, shape, or form in your new robotic like form?
I didn't really consider it, but now that you're saying it, you might be onto something.
Because when I first came across the suit, I was just like, wow, that kind of reminds me of these things. And then I looked at some stuff, I was like, I wonder if this is a pathway for conversation, and I got lucky. Sometimes I get lucky, okay?
I mean, it's two toys in one. Who wouldn't want a transforming tour?
Exactly. So, Guilty, coming to the end, now is your time to say anything you would like to say, whether it's to talk about a subathon, to thank somebody in your community like your mods, or just to, you know, just promote yourself or anything other than, like, you know, if you're working for a sponsor. Now's your time to say whatever it is you want to say. The floor is yours.
Absolutely. Well, again, my name is Guilty Glitch, and I'm your mother and favorite foul-mouth, witty personality matrix downloaded to Robot Shell. And every weekend, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, we like to go live and stream the latest and greatest indie and Nintendo video games for your entertainment. But of course, with that fun added twist, come join us along with my sweet, sassy, sensual spaceship who soars me through the stars, Guilty Gravity. And we have a good time over on stream. Tomorrow, we're going to be playing some Mario Kart. And stream has the opportunity to add permanent ink blots while I race. And you can come to race against me. So it's going to be a good time. Definitely come check out the stream.
Who's your Mario racer of choice?
Metal Mario, baby.
I thought you were going to do the stink guy Luigi. Like, that's a pretty epic one.
If I'm trying to stink eye people, I'm going with Toad.
How do you feel about them taking away Warrior's ass in the newer Mario Karts? He went from full dumpy to nothing.
I mean, it was too powerful. They had to nerf him.
Fair enough. And with that being said, this has been CastleComs, episode 84. I've had the immense pleasure of talking to Guilty Glitch. Thank you so much for coming. I know it's a hard sell asking somebody to come on a random Discord call to talk to a stranger for an hour and a half. But so thank you for taking that plunge. I appreciate everybody who does. That being said, why don't you guys go outside and touch and or smoke some grass? And I'll see you next time here on the comms.